Three, two, one. John, put your intro here. One, two, three.
There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is really
cute.
This is the Unique Geek.
And hi, everybody. This is Lee, and I am part of the 50 Days podcast. Unfortunately, John's not here with me. He's not really unfortunately. I mean, you know, he's like taking a vacation with his family and sitting near sand and ocean and all of those kind of things and surrounded by big mice and things. So, but in filling in for him is another Unique Geek and also someone who has his own podcast, Mr. Shag. How are you, Shag?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm glad you guys have finally stepped up and put on some more interesting co-hosts on this show, finally.
Well, he cheated on me. So, he brought in another co-host and didn't tell me. But see, I told him, so I'm not really sure this counts yet. I told him I was going to bring on other people. So, I don't know.
It's not cheating if
back
you...
At him.
It's not cheating if you tell them, huh?
I don't know. Yeah, as he said, he cheated on his con wife. I was like, yes, you did. So,
yes, I am the Irredeemable Shag. I'm from the Fire and Water podcast and one of the original Unique Geeks, and I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are also somebody who, for those on the 50 days, all those pictures that go up are probably 90% of his. So if you're seeing pictures that have been put up on the 50 days podcast line, Sir John to fill in a day, those are probably from Shag. So, because you take a lot of pictures of Con every year.
I take about 700.
And what do you think is going to be a big costume this year?
That's a good question. It's always a fun game because, you know, like a couple years ago, everybody was a Joker nurse, you know?
Yeah.
And that you couldn't go anywhere without tripping over one. And last year, oddly enough, it seemed to be sexy TARDISes.
You know, there were a lot of sexy TARDISes,
A ton of them last year. So, this year,
We'll have some Brave. I do think we'll have some of the Merida from Brave.
Yeah.
A lot of people in those big red curly wigs. I'm not sure what else, though.
I think we're going to see a bunch of Avenger stuff.
Oh, yeah. I don't see how we can't see a bunch of Avengers and some Dark Knight Rises. I think we'll see a couple of Banes, but that's going to be a tough costume to pull off. They better do it well. Yeah, we'll see. All right, so, but speaking of sexy TARDISes, Shag, would you like to introduce our guest?
We have with us the British track director, Caro. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Believe it or not, it's only as of today, even though who knows when this will go up, that we will tell you that later, but we're at 31 days till DragonCon right now.
Yeah, I'm glad my schedule's done.
Yes, I know, my schedule's done, barring any new changes, which is always possible. So,
give us an idea how you're feeling, 31 days till DragonCon, does that make you sweat, or does that make you excited?
For me, DragonCon's an all-year thing, it's an all-year endeavor, and I actually kind of start to relax around this time, because a lot of the planning is done, and it's not really until like a week before when I start to really stress out. and usually what we do at the Brit Track, we do something almost every single month right before the convention. And we have our picnic, which is on August 11th at Piedmont Park, and all the information is on our Facebook group. But right after the day after the picnic is where I kind of like go, oh my God, I need to get my crap together. and rush to like pack and find all my stuff that's been put in storage for the past year. So about 31 days out after my programming is like in the system and being messed around by other people and not me, I'm good. I'm coasting.
I think that's kind of how I feel, too. I mean, it is, as you said, it's a year-round thing. I take about 2 months off where I really don't think about it. But probably by December, after con, I'm really already starting to think about it again. And putting some pen to paper and thoughts on, you know, dots on paper to start thinking about that. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, I think there's a little bit of nervousness, though, because you just don't know what's going to happen now. And it's out of your control, which is what bothers me more, I think.
Yeah.
Because you just, somebody may cancel and you have to do something. Or we may get a great guest added at the end, which is great and wonderful, but it's almost like, oh, wow, that's a lot to rechange and move around. But it is great because that means a guest. And speaking of guests, I'm so jealous, Kara. You have,
we have
a guest.
We have some hefty lineups of guests this year. We have five, which is, like, unheard of. Technically six, but it's been a really good year for us. You know that several years ago we had Gareth David Lloyd come and visit us, and he's not coming back this year, but we kept bringing him back and telling him how he needed to spread the word of how awesome the convention was, and apparently he did. So this year we've got, you know, Kai Owen, who played Reef on Torchwood, coming. We also have Eve Miles, who played Gwen, who's also coming and from Torchwood. And then John Barrowman, which is where everyone's going to have a mild heart attack, and we're going to have triple security on him.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I remember last year you said that was one of your, like, the guests that you would love to have. And
yes, he's one of the guys that... Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to deny the fact that yes, I've met famous people, and yes, I know how to talk to them, and some people don't, but there are a few, like, set of people who I literally just become completely, you know, flabbergasted by, and I can't even speak, you know, when they're there, and I'm afraid it's going to happen with John Barrowman. I don't think it's going to happen because he seems like such a person, he's very personable, but I'm very, very excited just to get my picture with him and say hi. I mean, as a fan, you know, a couple years back, I actually wrote into his agent as just a fan, not as someone at Dragon Con, but I wrote in and said, I really think you're awesome, and I'd really like an autograph. How much is it? And his agent contacted me back and said, John says not to worry, just send us an envelope, and we'll mail you an autograph. And he did, and so I just think that I'm really excited to meet him, so...
That's incredibly cool. I mean,
cool.
And I don't think you're going to have to be worried. He seems, in all the interviews, he seems to be such an outgoing guy. If there's an awkward silence, he's going to fill it. I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm not worried about it at all. And Rob Levy does all of our interviews for the Bird Track and for our larger guests. And he's also really excited to have them to come. And we're really stoked this year. You know, We hopefully will be able to steal James Marsters for a panel to have all of them on. So we're hoping for that to work out, possibly. We don't know. We're just kind of wishing at this
Sometimes
point.
That's what we do. And then
You're fine. We do have also, we have the Seventh Doctor, who is coming back again from Doctor Who. Yay, I know, he's my favorite.
He was amazing last year. I mean, he is such a fascinating guest.
He really is. He's the first guy I've ever seen where he actually got off the stage and walked into the audience and handed people his microphone and said, ask me a question, and shoved his microphone in their face. And I've heard people say, oh, so-and-so's done that, this actor's done that. I've never seen it before. I've never seen an actor come off the panel stage in a crowd room full of, like, 1,500 people and just wander around the crowd with the microphone and ask people to ask him questions.
Well, if I can pull back the veil for just a second, I had seen him backstage just before that walking around with his cane. I mean, he wasn't, like, hobbling or anything, but he's walking with a cane. So to see him, like, jump off the stage and run around, you know, as spry as a 20-year-old, that just blew me away. That was amazing.
He's a character. And he is the first actor to ever, like, big-name actor to ever come into our track room. Because usually we have, you know, a lot of big-name guests that come to the con, and they're usually, you know, listed or, you know, they're at on large panels, but we've never actually had them come to our track room before, and he's the first doctor to ever be in our small little itty-bitty track room in the Sheridan. So he is amazing, an amazing guest.
Oh, that's so cool. That is so cool. And then who's Patricia Quinn is your fifth one?
Patricia Quinn is coming back again. She's absolutely fantastic, magnificent. She did star in an episode of Doctor Who, and she also, of course, did the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And so we're doing like an Inside the Actors Studio. We call it Inside the Actors Gaff because gaff means studio in British slang. And so that's where that, everyone asks me where that word comes from. I'm like, don't you know? But that's where it comes from. British slang term for a studio or a flat. And she's going to talk about her entire career, and we're going to interview her, and it's going to be pretty good. We're really fortunate to have her. We also are crossing our fingers. There's some other guests that we'd really like to steal from other tracks, so I'm not going to say who, but, you know, it's pretty obvious it's the British. Right. Or what's on it. We'd love to have a couple of big people, but, you know, we don't know until the schedules are all fleshed out when that's finalized.
Let me ask you a question, if I can. You've been involved with the track for a while now, right?
About 13 years.
Okay. Take a step back in time with me here. As I've been attending Dragon Con for I don't know how many years, but prior to 2005, how would you compare, when Doctor Who came back, I should say, how would you compare the Brit track to, say, from 2003 to, or 2002, let's say 10 years later, 2002 to 2012? I mean, what's the biggest changes that you've seen and the most fascinating or interesting things that have happened?
Well, I mean, as far as the track's concerned, you know, back in 2002, I was just a staff member, just a regular staff member, and I wasn't director. So that's, for me, that's a big difference. but I know for me, some of the biggest differences is that before the re-envisioning of Doctor Who, as some people would say, you know, or call it, or the reboot, as some people would call it, before, you know, the new series came out, we really kind of didn't have a lot of major things happening in British cinema and British television that was carrying over from England. I mean, I was watching stuff, but, you know, and listening to the rumors and really excited about the Red Dwarf miniseries. It's supposed to come out in some day. And they still talk about it today, and it still hasn't happened, but we'll see.
It might come out at some point. You never know. Right.
Yeah, I mean, they keep talking about it, and there's all these rumors out, but, you know, it's stuff like that where everything's just a rumor, and there's not a lot of concrete stuff coming out of Britain. And a lot of the stuff was, a lot of the programming for the track was a lot of classic shows, and then we also did, back in the day, we did a lot of Whose Line Is It Anyway, and it dominated our programming. And now, you know, we don't do it anymore because there's just too much to cover. You know, the Brit track, we actually got our name officially changed this past year from British Science Fiction Media to Brit Track because people just call us that, and we just kind of suck. And we have a name, and people know where our room's located because in 2002, 2003, people didn't even know where we were in the buildings or even know that we had it. We were known as the Monty Python and Whose Line Is It Anyway people. And now, you know, so we have such a wide range of stuff that we cover that it's actually, to me, it's overwhelming to pick and choose, you know, what we're going to do every year. So
that
I think
something, too. I mean, I think this is coming out more and more. I mean, there's so much more coming out. But for you, I mean, what are some of the shows that you are covering that people might not think of you covering in some ways? Because they may think of the sci-fi stuff, the Doctor Who, the Torchwood, the Sarah Jane, but maybe they don't think of some other shows.
Well, yeah. There's, I mean, we do a lot of wide variety of stuff that people are kind of shocked by. They're like, wait, you're doing that? It's like, it's British, okay? I mean, come on. I pretty much, like, whenever somebody's like, hey, let's do this, I'm like, is it British? Because if it's British, you're not getting it. I'm sorry, I love you, but you're not getting it. No. like, we do it, we've done a Being Human, you know, UK panel every year. And since the popularity of the U.S. series, really just, I mean, yes, there were people who were fans during the first season that was released. It's really become a huge following in the United States in the past since the second season. So for us, you know, Being Human is in its fifth season, I believe, in the U.K. So that's a panel that we do, is where we look at the U.K. version of the show. There's also a lot of stuff that's come out in the past couple years, and also anniversaries that are happening this year. Like James Bond is having a major anniversary this year. It's his 50th anniversary of the film release. So we're honoring that by having a panel that's called James Bond at 50 Years, and we're going to talk about you know, the entire incarnation, and also Skyfall is about to come out too, right around Con. And then we're also going to have, in conjunction with the MMORPG track, we're doing a ball, because last year they threw a hero's ball and we threw a villain's ball. And we kept borrowing and stealing people from both parties. So we ended up deciding just to merge it all together, and we're doing the heroes and villains ball. And we're doing basically a theme of James Bond villains for us, for the party. So that's what we're doing as far as celebrating James Bond. We're also doing, the Young Ones is having their 30th anniversary this year, and people who don't know that show, it's one of the original slapstick British comedy shows that came out 30 years ago, and it was really big and changed the way that comedy was done on television. And so we're celebrating that this year.
30 years.
I know, years. I very old.
God.
Like, yeah.
Doctor Who turning 50 doesn't bother me, but Young Ones turning 30, that's like a punch to the gut.
That is.
Yeah, I know. Like, wow. I know. It's like, and it's really funny because, you know, I quote that show all the time. I started watching British television, you know, when I was a kid, and for me, The Young Ones, it was one of the shows that was on TV that I watched, and I love it. It's only two seasons long, but I love it.
Oh, wow.
Mm. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail you there.
No, but that is fine. Yeah, that's kind of hitting all of us right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of scary. It's like, wait, Margaret Thatcher was prime minister 30 years ago? That's really creepy. And it makes you think for a second. So, you know, I'm also doing more, like, current stuff, even though there isn't a new season of it. We're doing the IT Crowd again this year, which a lot of people, that new movie has Moss in it, the actor. I can never remember the actor's name.
It's called
Neighborhood Watch or something.
Yeah.
The African-American British guy that's in it is the character in the TV series, so that's exciting that he's actually breaking over into American cinema. We're doing Downton Abbey, which is huge. It's huge, huge following. It's not science fiction, it's not fantasy, it's not geeky at all, but it is a brilliant drama series, really well written, and I fell in love with it. It's absolutely amazing show, so we're doing a panel on that. And then I'm looking at my schedule right now.
Well, and I just wanted to say I just saw the Dark Knight Rises, and I'm not going to give away any spoilers if somebody hasn't seen it, but it was very surprising to see Bernd Gorham from Torchwood was in there.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, he's in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Got
his
gigantic teeth.
Yeah, pretty decent part in it actually. So I was like, "Whoa, I know him."
While you're looking at your schedule, I'll tell you a quick game my wife and I play. My wife is very much a non-geek, and I very much am, but she's discovered how much she enjoys British television, and she's been watching Downton Abbey. And we play a game now that every time she watches an episode, she'll name an actor, and I try and figure out what episode of Doctor Who they were in.
That's fun.
I also do that game with Canadian television, and like, okay, now how many other Canadian TV shows have they been in?
I know, seriously. Downton Abbey's fantastic. I'm really excited about that panel. It's one of the ones, I don't really sit on panels anymore because I don't have so much time because I'm herding cats in the background.
and so
it's one of the panels that I was like, I'm on this one, and I'm moderating it. I'm gonna be on this one. We're doing some different things this year as far as our programming. We are doing a lot of Sherlock for people who keep bugging me about it. We are going to have more than one Sherlock panel, so stop emailing me.
You have the same thing. But you have the same thing I do, which is, and all track directors do to an extent, is we would love to do more than one panel or more than two or more than four panels on something, but it's hard, people.
It's really hard.
You're emailing us and asking for more Sherlock, and somebody else is emailing us and saying, why aren't you doing, like, two panels on Hitchhikers, you know?
Yeah.
It's so scary
because they don't understand that there's only – they have to understand something. Like, for us, and I know you do this too, Lee, that the con does not officially start until 5 o'clock on Friday, and it stops at, like, 2 or 3 on Monday.
Yeah.
And every, like – our block adds up to only being about 30-something hours, like 32 hours.
I think 32 when I count them up, yeah.
Yeah, like and 30, but, 32, but,
yeah.
But for me, I start at 9 a.m. on Friday.
and I start at 10, yep.
And we go, yeah, and we go 24-hour because we show video at 9. So we actually extend the hours to make room for panels. So I have panels that are starting at like 11 p.m., 11:30, that are major theme topic panels like Monty Python. And, you know, we go for all these hours that, me and also Lee, we have very broad subject areas that we cover. So, I mean, it's really hard to fit in an entire media, all media, not just TV, not just, you know, film, but also, like literature and audios and radio and all the things we have to cover from an entire country.
Yeah.
So sometimes people forget that.
Well, and it's just, it's one of those things I am trying to, like, please understand, we're trying. But it is difficult, too, because the issue there is, too, that you want to do something that maybe is a little weird or a little different that's maybe not directly related to a show. Like, I'm doing something on, how steampunk can Warehouse 13 go, you know, which
yeah.
is... It is Warehouse 13, but it's a little bit of a different kind of topic on that. We're not just talking about the show, so I think that's interesting. And, I mean, you know, in Downton Abbey, you could do something just – you could do the history of that period and then do the costumes and then do Downton Abbey and then do – you know.
Yeah.
But there's only so many hours in a day. I can't – I didn't know you went 24.
I was going to say, I'm glad you mentioned that because that's one of the things I've always liked about your track is that, you know – 3 o'clock in the morning, you can go down there and there's some cool videos showing that you either may have seen and love to see them again, or you've never seen them. And it's a great opportunity for people.
Yeah, I know. Well, what we're doing, one of the nights we're doing something new and we're doing a discussion on British horror films. And we're going to show two of the first two original Hammer films. So if people have never seen, if you're horror fans and you've never seen, you know, that kind of stuff before, we're doing that. That's on Saturday night. Tentatively on Saturday night. I always have to say tentatively because the schedule is not finalized until people pick up the pocket program at the con.
It's not finalized until your butt is in a seat and the panel is going on. It is not finalized till then.
It's not finalized. So we are tentatively posting that for 11:30 p.m. on Saturday, where we have some people who are experts are going to come in and they're going to talk about Hammer horror films, and then they're going to view those two films. So we're doing a couple little different things. We're also having a Sherlock night where we're going to show some of the older series of Sherlock, so that people who are fans of the new Stephen Moffat series, they can see some of the different incarnations of Sherlock Holmes, from animated stuff to all the different incarnations of the show. So we're trying to get copies of stuff to show. And then we're also going to do a James Bond night where we're going to probably air a couple of the movies if, you know, we get permission. So we're looking forward to our late night programming, which tends to be pretty good. And then we also have a bunch of other stuff that we're covering. We're bringing back Top Gear again this year, so we're going to do Top Gear again. Yeah, which is, has a huge following, and really looking forward to that. And we're also, Lee, we're going to do two academic panels this year. I had this group approach me, and they're like, hey, what a bunch of doctorates and doctors with our PhDs and stuff, and we work at colleges, and we want to analyze Doctor Who in front of people and do a roundtable discussion. And I was like, that sounds really great. So you should come in and do it. And they're like, sure. So they did one last year, and we did it in our track room, and we had to turn about 100 people away because they couldn't fit in the room.
Oh, my gosh.
So this year we're doing two. We're doing one on theorizing the doctor, titled Then and Again, and it's talking about the changes that have occurred just in cinema and the way that things are shot and things are made and how that's affected Doctor Who, and talking about the old series and the new series. So kind of along those lines. So basically just coming up with theories behind, you know, postulations that you can basically say about Doctor Who. So that's one of our academic panels. And the other one is, it's called Time Ladies in the Whoniverse, the Portrayal of Women in Doctor Who. So looking at...
That could get a little touchy.
Pretty ugly. And what's really crazy is that I asked for people, and I'm hoping out men to sit on it. So it's going to be interesting to be on. I think I'm the only girl sitting on that panel. So that'll be a really good, fun one to come to, those of us who are interested.
Open their eyes about the old series. Don't let them bully you.
I know. It's going to be, because you could sit there, and I could even banter about it right now, about, the way that women are portrayed in Doctor Who and just the whole Hooniverse. So it's going to be a very interesting clinging of mud.
Yes, it will be. That will be some interesting mud. So now last year, you had a lot going on. What was something that went over really well and just you were stunned by how great it went? I mean, you just told us about the one you had to turn people away, but you had a lot going on last year, too. So what went really well that you did bring back this year?
A couple of things. The IT Crowd panel was really successful, and we had people in costume who knew all the bits and lines and parts, and we had a guy dressed like Moss who showed up, and he looks exactly like him. And if he listens to this podcast, he needs to show back up because the picture I took with him was blurry. So I'm very upset about it. And he was fantastic. Like, we had people who were dressed up as all the characters. And the room, again, we had to turn people away because the room was so packed because the show is so hilarious. It, to me, it's the modern Young Ones. It's the modern Monty Python. It is hilarious, and the fact that it wasn't syndicated for next season is really sad. But it's a really amazing show, so we're looking forward to that panel, and it was really successful. And then also, we're doing another loser panel in the State of British Crime Shows.
Oh, okay.
Which was called From Loser to Midsomer, the State of British Crime Shows, and we're going to talk about all of the crime shows that have come out of, out of England especially, including Law and Order UK and, those kind of things, and talking about why there's such a fascination with British crime and that whole idea of the crime show. So we're bringing that back again. We're also reincarnating our a panel, which we've done before over the past couple of years. And we did shelve it last year, but it's been successful in the past. As you probably know, Edgar Wright, Nick Frost, and Simon Pegg have the unofficial trilogy, Blood and Ice Cream, and they're coming out with their third film. I think it's called World's End. And their third film is going to be released in the next year. So we're doing a panel talking about that entire trilogy and how Edgar Wright has basically come out and said that it is a trilogy. That, you can look at Shaun of the Dead, and you can look at Hot Fuzz, and you can look at this last movie, and they all are connected in some way. So it's going to be very interesting, and we're going to talk about that at one of our panels. I'm trying to think of other ones besides the staple, like Doctor Who and, the regular ones that we do.
I assume you're going to have... Now, will the Torchwood panel, will that technically be part of the Brit track, or will that be main programming, or is it a hybrid? How's that work?
Well, the way that the con works is that whenever something is in a large room and that topic or that panelist or group of people is associated with a certain track, then that track director kind of takes it on as being responsible for it, and it goes into their programming. So even though there is a main programming list, we can request to use large rooms for guests that we get or for concepts or ideas or panels that we have. For example, anything that's Sylvester McCoy or that's Torchwood, it's under our umbrella, but it is in the main programming room, if that answers your question.
No, absolutely, because obviously you're gonna be a whole bunch of people trying to get to John Barrowman, just without a doubt. So
I just
want to make sure that you get to lash onto that and make sure you keep it as yours.
And it is definitely kept as ours, but we also love to share, so... we like to bring in other tracks and do stuff with the zoo. We've done panels with Lee before, and I hope she comes out to one of our panels and gets to wander out.
I'm
going to
try to do that. Yeah, it looks like I'm going to be able to help with some of that, so yay.
Yay!
Which is cool. Yay! So good. Yeah,
I'm excited.
At least twice, I think. But it's all going to depend on when my big panels are, too, so which is always great. But, I think that is actually the good thing, too, because then – I don't know about you, but I just feel more connected to the audience because I've just seen a lot of those people, and I know it's a huge room of you know, 1,500, 2,000, and you're like, yeah, come on, you saw. But I've seen some of those people in the track room. And then they're out there, and it's like, okay, this is just my track room, but bigger. It's kind of cool. So, yeah.
It's kind of neat. It is really cool.
Dragon Con did a great job helping us with that. Yeah.
I mean, for me, like, I rarely ever get up on large panels and get on the microphone, and that's just out of respect for the interviewer, and he usually comes out and interviews them, and I just kind of hang out in the background when it comes to the larger panels. I got up last year when we were showing the episode of Doctor Who, and that was a big thing last year, was the airing of an episode of Doctor Who the same weekend that it released, and I wish we had a Guinness Book of World Records person. I wonder if, you know, we broke a record. There are a lot of people in that room. It was really cool. And I got up there for the first time and introduced the woman who brought us the disc and had an introduction from Matt Smith saying hi to DragonCon.
Really?
Yeah. And it was so cool. And actually, what happened was I had the flu last weekend. I was last year. I was so sick. I was in bed for part of one day. And Regina, who's the head of programming at DragonCon, she called me up. She's like, you need to come down here right now. I'm like, I'm sick. I'm in bed. I need to rest for a little while. She's like, no, you don't understand. You need to come down here right now. And it's early in the morning. She's like, the BBC rep's here. You need to come down here right now. And I'm like, okay. So I throw on clothes. And I run downstairs. And I get there. And I sit down. And I'm sick. And she's like, you've got to watch this. And she played the video. And Matt Smith, you know, said hello to DragonCon and that he's sorry he couldn't be there and all this other stuff. And this little mini intro to the episode. And I mean, as a fan, but also as somebody who organizes something like this, and it means so much to me and it's a big part of who I am, I started bawling. I was crying.
Aww.
I was such a big baby. I was just like, oh, my God, DragonCon. Oh, my God. I literally started bawling.
And that's cool. I love it.
And you know, it means so much to me. And to have somebody who is in the industry that's that big, of, you know, somebody who's current, who is the current doctor, say DragonCon and you know, say hello to everybody, it just warmed my heart. And Regina made fun of me for it.
Okay. She makes fun of me. Yeah, she enjoys making fun of
me. She teased me a little, but then she said, it's okay. I know you're really proud. And I said, I am really proud. So that was really cool. After, we don't have anything like that that I know of, because they always tell me at the last minute going on. But it's really cool that, you know, we got to have stuff like that last year. So hopefully for 2013 we'll have something really cool going
on. Really cool. So now, as we said, we don't always get out of our own track rooms because we got other stuff to do. But if you do get some time to be able to be out of your track room, who are you hoping to go see this year? Or what are you wanting to go watch and see and do?
Honestly, I have never seen the parade.
I have never
seen the parade. I've seen video of it, and every year, you know, I try to go, but I always have a panel in the morning, and it's always a guest panel, too. So it's like I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't, try to get out and, you know, see anyone or do anything. But honestly, for me, I really want to shake Patrick Stewart's hand and be like, you were awesome. Because he's been a part of my childhood. My parents are huge Trekkies, and I love his work, all the stuff that he's done, even when he's acted in other British shows. And I didn't get a chance to meet him. I saw a panel that he was on, but I didn't actually get to shake his hand. So going to go see him.
You're one up on me. I never got to see a panel of his. And I kept trying and trying, and things kept coming up.
He was really great. I got to see him in a panel when he was here last. He was great. Now, he's British. Yeah. Why can't you steal him for your track?
I don't know. I'm so mad. I really want to do like Shakespearean theater and Patrick Stewart panel. I would think he would go nuts for it.
I think he's only there two times this year, too, though. I think he's only there Saturday and Sunday this year.
I've always wanted to run something like, if we could just get a couple of the actors to agree to act out scenes from Shakespearean plays.
Be so awesome.
How freaking cool would that be?
Awesome.
I think it would be awesome. So awesome. I would be like, you are King Lear. You are my King Lear, Patrick Stewart. You are. Sir Patrick Stewart is my King Lear. And I've always wanted to see it, you know, and see him play King Lear. So, but well, I just wanted to shake his hand.
He would absolutely go nuts for that. I mean, the panel I was at, he actually said at one point, he goes, you folks know I have done things other than Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, he's done so much. It's ridiculous. He was brilliant in The 11th Hour. If nobody's seen that. It's a crime show. But he was in it. Oh. It's really good.
He was brilliant in the movie Jeffrey that I saw years and years and years ago.
So, oh, yeah.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
But him and John Rhys-Davies, duh.
Yeah.
Because I love him, and he's hilarious, and he's so funny. And he's done a lot of British panel shows where, you know, they discuss and they make fun of, like, the news or current topics or something like that. And there's a bunch of outtakes online of him, and he just looks like the coolest guy on the planet. He just seems so cool. I really want to meet him. So.
I don't know if it was the last time he was at Dragon Con, but do you remember when we were over at the Mart all those years and years and years ago?
Yeah.
He did a panel there during the kind of big times of Sliders, and I just remember seeing him there, and I'm like, oh, my God. I loved you in Indiana Jones. And, yeah, that was just when I was an attendee. I don't know if I was staff yet or not. I can't remember. But, yeah, it was, like, awesome. He was so cool. He was a lot of fun in a panel. So, yeah.
I really wanted to see him just to laugh and go and enjoy it. And there are a couple of people. I think that's really it as far as, like, besides Adam West, of course. Adam is really West. I don't know why.
Really?
I just want to meet him.
Okay. Yeah,
I want to meet him. He cracks me. His voice is hilarious. I just can't. Anytime somebody does an impression of him, I act like I'm 12. I like start crying, laughing. He's hilarious.
Very.
So, but yeah, it's going to be a good year for us. We're really looking forward to this year and hoping that next year's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm. So, well, Shag, it's your turn to ask a question now.
Or
no.
Well, I kind of tapped out of questions, but I will tell you, I mean, as you said, next year's going to be huge with the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who and talking about how far it's coming. And I'm sitting here with the newest issue of Entertainment Weekly in front of me, and Doctor Who's smack dab on the cover. I mean, it's just insane.
Oh, are they again? Oh, awesome.
I think it's the first time.
When does the show start? September, October, when?
It starts in September. It starts at the beginning of September. We don't have an exact air date.
Of course not. Come on, why do
they like to keep that secret?
I know. God forbid. It's only, you know, I don't know, a little over 30 days away, till September. So
it kills me. They always announce it like 2 weeks ahead of time. They're like, Doctor Who, 2 weeks. It's like, really? Now you're telling me this
is crazy. All right. So I have to. This is the question we asked last year, and you said Barrowman, and you got him. So if you could have any three guests. Living, dead, but not zombies. Who do you want for Brit? No zombies. I don't like zombies. So who do you want for Brit?
Okay, for next year?
For any year you want.
Okay, for any year. I mean, there's so many. Honestly, you know, he's really old, but I'd love to have Tom Baker come.
Aww.
But, you know, he doesn't travel. You know, very well, and he's finally, I don't know if you guys know, that he just announced, what was it, a couple months ago, that he's doing the Big Finish audios, finally.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He's coming back to do that.
They've been really good. I've been getting the ones they've released so far. They're very enjoyable.
Yeah, I haven't heard any myself yet. I'm kind of behind, but from what I understand, you know, they're pretty amazing, and people... You know, really excited, but I would love to have him come back. She just passed, but Mary Tam, I've actually had the honor of meeting, and she came to Time Gate, and I do guest services for Time Gate, which is another con, and she came a couple years ago, and she was fantastic. She was an amazing guest. She's an obscure actress, but she's really great, and I would have loved to have had her at Dragon Con. This is hard. One more. I'll be kind of at heart, I am a comic book nerd. Believe it or not, a lot of people don't know this about me, but I love comics, and I grew up, my grandfather reads comics, and I consider myself a third generation nerd because my grandfather was into comic books, and my parents were Trekkies, and I rebelled, and I watched Doctor Who. But at heart, I am a comic book fan. But I would love Alan Moore to come.
Whoa!
I would kill for Alan Moore to come. I met Warren Ellis. Warren Ellis came a couple years back, and he's the only person who has completely stupefied me that is famous standing in front of me, and no one could understand why. They're just like, "What? It's Warren Ellis. He's not that big of a person." I'm like, "If you are a comic book nerd, he is huge. You do not understand." Alan Moore does not leave his house except for to go to the local bar, so I don't know if he'd actually fly out here.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Can we do it through Skype? I mean, you know, we have the technology now.
I know.
Skype it. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That's, I like that list. That's a good list. Good list. Woohoo! Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you for doing this. I think this was great. And so you have lots of ways for people to find you. So how do people find Brit Track?
Oh, my God. We have tons of ways. The main hub is brittrack.org, brittrack.org is our website. It'll probably change because we're kind of being mushed into one gigantic DragonCon address. But for right now, it's brittrack.org. And it has all of our links. We have a Twitter that we update during the convention. We actually update every 30 minutes before a panel.
Oh, wow.
So that people know what's the next panel that BritTrack's doing. Is if they follow us on Twitter. It's very inactive during the school during the regular year, but we really use it over the weekend for announcing when our panels are. We also have a Facebook group. We do have a MySpace account, even though some people think that it's dead and dying and on its last leg. We still use MySpace. We do have a Yahoo group, which is our oldest group that we've had, is our Yahoo group. And we post most of our stuff initially on Facebook and our Yahoo group. So if people want to chat or talk to one another, those are the main two places that we tend to post our stuff. And then we also have a LiveJournal account as well.
Very cool. And Shag, I think you actually do have one more question you wanted to ask about schedules.
Oh, well, she said she already did it, though. So I was going to ask, when should we expect to see your schedule done and completed? But I think you said that you've already completed it. Is that right?
Yes, we already completed it, and people keep bugging me about this. And it's 31 days, and I keep telling them that I do not post the BritTrack schedule until we are 30 days out from DragonCon. And I've done it for the past 6 years that way, and it's not going to change. So people keep bugging me and asking me for it. But we will post a tentative schedule on our website and on all of our group pages tomorrow. Hopefully it'll go up tomorrow if my webmaster gets it. So if not, then I will forward you his email.
We can put that up in 50 days if you need us to. Just send it.
And you can talk to him if it's not posted by then. We usually release it on our website first, and then it'll go within the next couple of days on other locations. But I will tell people that we do post a tentative panel list, which looks a lot like our schedule, about 50 days out from DragonCon, and it's already up on our Facebook group. It's a document on our Facebook group, so people can look there and see titles of things, just not when and times and dates of stuff. So,
very cool.
But we'll post it tomorrow.
Well, you've got some amazing guests this year. You've got some great sounding panels. It's going to be a great year for the BritTrack, clearly, and I can't wait. I'll be one of the people in the audience cheering for you guys.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
And Kara, thank you for doing this so much. This is always great for everybody, and we do get lots of people listening to these. So keep listening, keep commenting, keep asking us your questions, because we'll ask the directors. We will. And Shag, thank you. You're just a brilliant, brilliant person, a great comic book meet, and a sci-fi aficionado. And thank you for being on this with me tonight.
Far too kind. You're a lovely, lovely host, and you make great drinks. Thank you.
I do. I do that. Yeah. But hey, that's my superpower. Okay, so for Shag and Caro and me and John, who's not here, but he'll be here back soon. I'll say for John, peace, and for me, bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.